Party Down or Southside if you want a half-hour comedy. Okay. Those are my lunchtime shows.
Oh, Party Down is good. Them. Yeah.
Party Down is the one about the buffet people, the people at the buffet.
They call themselves caterers, but buffet people is very respectful as well. Hello and welcome to episode number 505 of the podcast. I'm your host, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to the life of idiocy. We're committed to educating you on things that entertain but do not matter.
To find out more about these contemplative pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Popcast, and we're on Twitter at Popcast Pod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be talking pop culture current events.
But before we do that, you guys, last week we launched a very special mom quiz in honor of Mother's Day, which was, are you a Taco Bell mom or Chick-fil-A mom? And thousands of you took the quiz. Aaron, what kind of mom are you?
I'm a Chick-fil-A mom.
Feels scary. If y'all don't know Aaron, Aaron reaches red status by February of every year. That's how much she eats at Chick-fil-A.
Girl, I'm signature now. So.
Oh, dang.
She's got a Chick-fil-A cow's smirch. Direct line. Dang. She can just call the Chick-fil-A cow anytime she wants.
Exactly. I can.
I know. Now, to be fair, thousands of you took this quiz, and some of you discovered you were not a Taco Bell mom or a Chick-fil-A mom. You were a gas station hot dog mom or an old country buffet mom. Because it's not about the food you eat. Erin is not a Chick-fil-A mom because she eats a lot of Chick-fil-A. It's a plane of existence that Erin lives on. And I think it's the combination of you being faith adjacent and also rowdy in a play place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've been asked to leave Chick-fil-A.
Your family?
Uh-huh, my family.
Why?
One of my children had a dark, dark moment with the Chick-fil-A cow. She does not like people dressed up in costume. And she
kicked that cow in the udders.
No, she just started screaming and wouldn't stop screaming. And they were like, do you want us to box up your food and take it to your
Dang.
Car?
Okay, I was going to ask
cow
you.
Stays. Yeah. The cow stays. The moon's got to go.
Yeah,
like, it would be everybody's pleasure if you weren't here anymore. So why
it
don't we
so
do that?
It was so nice the way they did it. And I was like, yes, that would be delightful. Thank you.
Okay, so the mom quiz. It's still up at knoxandjamie.com/mom quiz if you want to determine your path in the world. Also, this gets you access to our weekly newsletter, Note for the Audio, where more than 23,000 folks subscribe. So don't miss out on the content you will only find in our weekly newsletter. The link to subscribe is in the show notes.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Jamie, as always, we're doing The More You Know today. And these episodes are what we do three times monthly for BFOTS.
The more you know.
So if you want to receive multiple episodes like this every month, in addition to our Wednesday episodes, make sure to go to knoxjamie.com/Patreon to sign up. Jamie, would you like to start us off with a ask a personal question?
Okay, so I've pulled this question from our monthly AUA. So we do a monthly Ask Us Anything with our BFOTS over on Patreon, and when it was this week. So if you become a BFOTS this week, you can actually watch the video replay. I would say that is our rowdiest hour of the month.
100%. 100%.
Because of a variety of substances. It's late at night. Erin is trying her best to herd the cats. It's a good time. So I took a question from this post, which was from Emily Thompson. I might argue that this is the best question we've ever been asked, which was, if you were a movie, what would your critic score be and what would your audience score be?
What a clever question.
Thank you, Emily. This was brilliant. This is a reference to Rotten Tomatoes because we talk a lot about the Rotten Tomatoes score. There's always a critic score and an audience score. And sometimes they're very similar. Sometimes they're very different. Here's what I would say. My life would be a PG-13 comedy.
Okay.
I would have one F word.
Yeah.
Probably spoken by Aaron, to be honest. And there might be a butt sighting. And that would probably be show frenemy Catherine, who would show her bottom. But I would say that my score would match perfectly with 2004's action-adventure film National Treasure. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Critic score, 46. Okay? Audience score, 76. That feels right. Let me tell you why. And the critics' consensus for National Treasure is actually the exact description of my life, which is National Treasure is no treasure, but it's a fun ride for those who can forgive its highly improbable plot.
You know, and I think to that point with National Treasure, it would be like, a lot of it didn't make sense, but I had a lot of fun, so I don't really care, you know?
Exactly.
And like, that's...
Is it historically accurate? Probably not.
Nah.
But you had a good time watching it, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Thank you.
See, I think I'd be the inverse. I think I would be like a 62 critic score and then like a 26 audience score.
No, no.
You know
what
I mean?
No way.
No, I think it'd be like, not for me, but maybe for somebody else.
You know why your audience score would be so low? It's because you left the party without telling anyone.
Maybe.
And they'd be
maybe.
Like, he just never stays.
It's just the most respectful way to depart a situation, I think. You know, I feel like we all
That's
agree
right.
on that.
That's right.
Okay, my ask a personal question. This was from Megan Underwood, and this is sports. So this is a rare sports question
that
I wanted
help
to bring to the main
if you
feed.
Need help.
Yeah, thank you,
yeah.
Thank you. I know you have a rich list of sports podcasts you listen to, so that's going to be actionable here. She says, "Hey Knox and Jason Waterfalls, just wanted to let you know you also have a tween of the show. My 11-year-old just discovered sports podcasts this spring and checks for Over Underachievers every Friday morning. That's when we publish our episodes. On that note, this is fascinating. That makes the Podcast Media Group a three-generation situation, as my own matriarch was the one to introduce me to the podcast. Are there any other podcasts you think could achieve the same level of audience engagement or do you have any other sports podcasts to recommend?" So, Megan, to answer your question, zero podcasts. I have no facts on that. Zero podcasts have that kind of cross-generational appeal.
No,
okay?
I agree.
We've got the grandmas, the moms,
yeah,
and the kids.
No, 100%. Because like last week, I was like, oh, Brittany Ratliff, who told us about her mom having her dad had a Captain Jack Sparrow phase. She tagged her mom and all that. She was like, my mom knows. Tina knows that she needed a pirate costume and wore my cheerleading costume to have sassy time with my dad.
Sure. Sure. You know? And I think everybody loves true crime podcasts, but it's all fun and games until your 9-year-old comes in your room having nightmares because someone got thrown in a trunk. You know, we're not going to do that to you. We're not going to do that to you here at the PMG. Like I said, we do have our Underachievers on Friday mornings. We cover some of the more masculine aspects of pop culture as well as sports. So you can check that out. But in terms
of
other
masculine
sports,
pop culture, I want to know.
I'm so glad you asked. We talked at length about Yao Ming this week, and we really
What's
dove
that?
Into Yellowstone.
Not interested in that.
Kevin Costner's like personal life, but also his artistic life, but also Matthew McConaughey on Yellowstone and how to make that make sense. So
okay.
for the Yellowstone heads out there.
Masculine pop culture is boring.
No, it's fascinating because it's so fraught with so many unspoken
things. That's true. That's true.
In terms of other sports podcasts to recommend, there's only the Over Underachievers, actually. I don't know if you've found that when you search on the genre.
Others.
But there is one more I do really enjoy. It's called The Lead, and it's from Wondery. It's a daily podcast, and it's short, and it summarizes the big stories from the day prior in sports or larger existential stories. And it's really, really well done, very safe for young ears. To my knowledge, has not had a Jack Sparrow phase, so you're safe there.
Oh, that's good.
And it's very super informative, so I would recommend that.
You know, I went to a baseball game this weekend because my brother was named Alabama Airman of the Year for the Air Force, which was very impressive, and he got to throw out the first pitch, and he did a great job because he threw it, and it went right into the catcher's mitt, and the catcher was like, where are you supposed to sit? I don't know if they sit.
Crouched,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, baseball's boring. Can we just be honest?
That's your hot take. That was the buildup to the hottest of takes, baby.
Listen, I had to have food delivered to my seat 7 times. It was 3.5 hours. Why is it so long and hot?
They do need some fight clubs on the dugouts in between pitches. They tried the pitch clock, you know, to speed it up a little bit. I don't want to like put you in a weird space, but do you feel like the golden children family dynamic has shifted a little bit in his favor now?
He's a better person than me for sure.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I'm just meaning in terms of like more, like the more successful child.
No, 100%. No,
is he in your rearview mirror? You think he's ahead of you right now?
No, he's ahead of me. He's ahead of me personally.
Okay.
But because he's a public servant, I am ahead of him payroll wise.
Jamie, I would argue you're also a public servant, you know? I think it's all
I'm
in terms
a public
of
servant, but I do make better money than him, which is shown that I show up with better gifts.
Okay.
He will be like, I cooked hamburgers for you, Mom. And I'm like, here's $200 to Hobby Lobby. B word. She was very excited.
I think you're well ahead in the standings. I think you have like a 12 game lead, honestly.
That's right.
So
nothing to be worried about.
Okay. So that's Ask a Personal Question. And again, we do that every single week on our The More You Know episodes. Jamie, let's go to this kind of a newish category, but I feel like it was warranted here. Explain it to me like I'm an idiot. Matler? Is that Matler. What we're calling it? Matler?
Yeah, well, okay. No, I don't think we're calling it. Listen, it's not going to last long. But it is interesting. So
sure,
let's get into it. Okay, so Knox wants to know about Matler. This is a treasure. And I will let Aaron pipe in whenever she needs to. So on April 8th, outlets reported that Taylor Swift had broken up with her boyfriend of 6 years, Joe Alwyn. Do you know the players, right?
Yes,
Knox?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
So Swifties were hesitant to believe it. Remember, I red-lit them because I was like, guys, it's real. They're broken up. And they were. Because then in walked one Matty Healy. It is very disturbing that I have to call him Matty. Because that is literally what he goes by. Matty Healy, who is the lead singer of the pop rock band, The 1975. Fun fact, they've been a band for 21 years.
Whoa, that's a long time.
Since he was 13 years old. Also, fun fact, he's a Nepo baby. Both of his parents are actors, successful working actors. And then last fun fact, the day that the reports went out about the Joe Alwyn breakup was Matty Healy's birthday. I don't think that was a coincidence. So how did Matty and Taylor know each other? Well, they met in 2014 backstage at one of his concerts, Red Thread, that same year Taylor attends a Healy concert with her, quote, friend, Carly Kloss, in New York City. If you've even tiptoed into Swift Talk, then you've seen the grainy footage of that concert and them possibly making out at it. It is a tentpole of the Gaylor commentary, okay?
Okay, you're saying Taylor Swift and Carly Kloss making out at 1970. Okay,
that's
gotcha.
Exactly right.
Gotcha.
That's exactly right. Now, Matty and Taylor have partied on occasion over the years. He collaborated on some songs for the Midnights album, which came out in October, which he confirmed were cut from the final record, which I think is telling because she did pick Snow on the Beach in Paris. And those songs suck. And don't at me, they're awful songs. Aaron, are those
cocaine?
The worst? Are those the worst songs? Snow on the Beach? No, it's not about cocaine. It's about when you live on the beach during the winter in Rhode Island.
Snow on the Beach is terrible.
It's a terrible song. Paris,
Snow on the
like
Beach
Paris?
In Paris?
No, those are two different songs. Snow on the Beach featuring Lana Del Rey, which is just Lana Del Rey going, ha, la, la, la.
Okay, do I like Lana Del Rey or should I not like Lana Del Rey?
I think you can like Lana Del Rey. You're just not going to get a lot from her. That's what
sure.
I'm saying.
Okay, there's a Mary Poppins vibe of like, you just seem like you got a lot of cool tricks in your bag, and I don't know like what to feel about that,
yeah.
Or how deep that goes psychologically, but I just feel it. You know what
I mean? That's right. So in January of this year, Taylor joined The 1975 on stage at one of their concerts for a surprise performance of Antihero, her song, okay? Then the breakup, sad Joe Alwyn, paparazzi photos, Taylor now stepping out in public on the reg with her biatch pack from the city, okay? Now, The Sun then puts out a report the first week of May that Taylor and Matty are madly in love. And listen, people are like, ain't no way, ain't no way. And I was like, oh, they boinking for sure, right? Matty, who is performing in the Philippines, do your geography map. I'm not sure. I know it's not here, okay? The Philippines is in Asia, right? Asia. Southeast Asia?
Honestly, you're on your own. I don't feel confident enough to answer, yeah.
Okay, so Matty is performing in allegedly Southeast Asia.
Okay.
He hops a red eye so that he can get to Taylor's Nashville shows the very next day. And he's in the VIP tent for all of them. Then she is photographed holding his hand in New York City last Friday. And then Matty moves from the VIP tent to the family suite at all the Philly Eras shows. He is with Mama Swift on Mother's Day. Okay? So that's our scenario. Now, what's good about this? Listen, Taylor's living her life as a hot, tall blonde who's one of the wealthiest women in the entire world.
Sure.
Yes. Listen, living your life. Make it rain. Did she cheat on Joe? Maybe. She's told us in songs she has cheated. Like, she's not above that.
I feel like I saw somewhere that there were allegations that Joe Alwyn cheated on her. Is that anything?
Easily. Yes, could be. Oh, okay. For sure. Because he has a co-star in something he's in, and she's liked a lot of TikToks and Instagrams talking about their breakup. So absolutely, that could be the case. Is Taylor and Maddie boinking? For sure they are. Listen, Leo in Saint-Tropez, why can't she boink? Leo boinks, yeah. Why can't she boink? Good for her. Is this a PR relationship that also has boinking? For sure. Yeah.
Listen. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, because
okay.
Look, you don't want the narrative when people, when the breakup was announced and never confirmed, although it was real, the narrative became she's sad. She's sad. Look how sad she is. She said, so there was a whole month of, look, she's tearing up during champagne problems because it's about her now, right? And I think that Tree Payne was like, there's no sad Taylor. There's no sad Taylor. Taylor, put on your nice pants, get out there and go wander around with models and hide, right? Which she did. And I think, are they going to live happily? And I think Maddie Healy was he was just nearby. Maybe she had boinked him in the fall, in the winter. I don't know what her life was like.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, the question is, are they going to live happily ever after? No, they are not. No.
Okay. So you're saying this is kind of more, this is like an Aldous Snow phase, like a season almost?
Yeah. This is just a good time. Listen, she doesn't have to go from one six-year relationship into the next six-year relationship. The best part of not being married is dating. Like, it's the most fun part. And listen, we are not a true love waits culture anymore. Not every date leads to a mate. Sure. Sometimes a date just leads to a mate for a lot. And so you can have a good time. Now, okay, so what's weird about this? Well, there are some weird things about it. Now, my favorite thing is watching Swifties try to spin it and being like, is he racist? I mean, who among us isn't racist? Well, that's actually fair. But Maddie Healy has a long history of saying really stupid stuff, like just ignorant stuff. For example, he said in an interview once with two women, these are quite heavy questions for girls dressed like you two.
Wow.
Right.
Okay.
So those are just stupid things that have a tinge of misogyny, right? But they're just stupid. But he goes deeper starting this year because he's like, he appears on a podcast, which with two guys, which I think is always a mistake. Don't appear on podcasts with two men. Listen, one man is all you need. Okay. All right. Okay. So he goes on the Adam Friedland Show with comedian and co-host Nick Mullen. And Adam in the podcast refers to American rapper Ice Spice as, quote, one of the Intuit Spice Girls. And then he calls her, quote, a chubby Chinese lady. And then he starts using a variety of Asian accents. Okay. And then Maddie Healy says he had messaged Ice Spice on Instagram, was asked, so you slide into her DMs and ask, what are you, an effing Eskimo or something?
Wow.
And Maddie then laughs so loud and so profusely that he cannot speak. He then encourages Maddie, to do an impression of Japanese people working in concentration camps and can be heard laughing uncontrollably at the racist stereotyping.
It's a very specific suggestion in the improv box.
And
you know?
I know you all are like, oh, I want to, wait, is that real? Well, you can't go listen to it on Apple and Spotify because they removed it for offensive content.
Okay.
But don't worry, the internet saves everything. And so you can just do a little quick Google search and you can listen to the audio and hear it. I would just say that this feels like you could have probably paid, Tree Payne, I know you're listening. You're obviously the publicist of Taylor Swift. You could have paid any hot young actor to be the PR relationship. And the fact that you chose greasy, gonna die of lung cancer at 40, Maddie Healy, it just feels like the stupidest choice ever.
It's I'm curious because there does the little bit I know about him and that I read about him, he does feel like he wants to be an edgelord. You know,
yes,
of like,
yes.
I'm always right on the, I'm a little trolly. I'm on the cusp of getting canceled. I'm really fixated on what it means to be canceled when I would say I would be more interested in making music that doesn't feel like I'm in a Forever 21 waiting on my wife to change clothes. And I'm trying not to make everybody uncomfortable. I'm just trying to be here and like sit this out, you know? But there's almost, I think I thought they were going to be like the Strokes, but they more came off like, if like they're like a nicotine patch for people who used to be addicted to boy bands, you know?
Oh,
and it's like, it's not as good or strong,
brutal. That
but you can
brutal.
Go on like with your life in a productive way to listen to 1975.
Well, to be fair, he's deactivated his Twitter. I think more than any other human has ever deactivated their Twitter.
I think you get one. I think you get one.
No,
you
know? I know. Right. But my favorite one is when he did, when George Floyd was murdered, he posted, if you truly believe that all lives matter. You need to stop facilitating the end of black ones. Which, okay, that seems great. Like, right? Okay. Like, oh, yeah. You're defending.
Full
oh.
stop? That's a, okay. No,
it's
notes.
Not a full stop. The next sentence was, here's a link to my song, Love It If We Made It,
gotcha.
Which talks about police brutality.
Okay. So you're saying it'd be bad if I was like, man, George Floyd, that whole situation was sad. If you also like sad, here's my next The Mummy 4 chapter on my Substack. Please click over and listen to that. That's yes. That's in bad taste is what I'm
saying? No, I'd say that would okay. be in bad taste. Gotcha. Here's the thing. I know a lot of Swifties are conflicted because they're like, you can love the artist,
sure.
but not love the personal life of the artist, right?
Yeah.
And I do think that's fair. But again, Swifties, you are wanting this woman to be something that she's just not going to be. She's right. not going to talk about laws against drag brunches. She's not.
Right.
She was there 3 days. She could have said it at any point, and she didn't. She's not going to talk about Roe. She's not going to talk about political issues. She did it that one time. Her dad got really mad in the documentary.
Yeah.
And then guess what? It didn't work. Marsha Blackburn is still your senator. So
God.
I think you're not going to get her being like, oh, is it weird that I'm dating a racist? Alas, what do I do? You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. And I think this is probably, and this, maybe that's why this is so jarring, is because I feel like she's been able to have her cake and eat it too, you know, like straddle
yeah.
the fence of like, not even, I don't want to say activist, but just socially, culturally conscious artist, but also artist.
Right.
So it's been difficult to like put her in either one of those camps specifically. But this feels like the first move where she's like, yeah, I know the optics are bad on this, but I'm just going to go ahead and do it because I want to do it. And
like,
that's her
I want a stupid.
Choice and right. You
that's
know,
right.
I guess.
Well, and listen, if y'all are wondering, like, when will this end? Oh, honey, it will end June 2nd because that is when the tour of the 1975 starts in Poland. So
yeah.
that will be the end of that. Like, he's going to Europe. He will be away. I think they don't have, like, they have, like, one day off between shows. I just don't think that you're going to see them together. The over-under of 3 months, I would pick the under.
Okay, you pick under 3 months.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe these two crazy kids, you know, maybe they'll even outlast Tom Holland and Zendaya. Who knows? Who
How
knows,
dare
guys?
You? Don't invoke them as if any way that is a compare and contrast. They are precious.
Have you
they
watched the trailer for the new Tom Holland movie with like Amanda Seyfried and she's
yes.
like his therapist or something and
yes.
it's weird and his face is weird and I don't know if they're trying to make him ugly, but why does he have to be like weathered
and
ugly?
He's come out and done interviews about his mental health and how he like got sober a year and a half ago and
yeah.
how this movie was really the catalyst for all of that and I don't know.
The movie doesn't feel like a fun hang. So I'll tell you that, especially with his like greasy hair and face. But yeah, okay. So I feel more informed on Mattler.
I know. I like and if y'all have opinions, listen, guys, if you have thoughts and opinions, we want to hear them. You can go to our Instagram and comment on our episode post about how you feel about Matt. Again, she could date anyone.
Yeah.
She could steal someone from someone. I just don't understand why this is your choice.
You know, maybe it's just like this is her like mixing in a water, you know, or she's just
yeah.
like getting her sea legs back and she's like, okay, like blah, 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 blah. Now I'm ready to date after this.
And
you
maybe,
know,
and listen,
ready.
I like the idea that Joe Alwyn hates Matty Healy, like yeah. a London boy that hates another London boy and hates him so much that she was like, who does Joe hate?
Oh, that was
That's
good.
Who I will stoop for
Man,
sure.
I still,
I do like
I
that.
Just, I don't have, I don't know what, it's not face blindness with Joe Alwyn, even though it is kind of face blindness, but it's also just like, person blindness because I thought he was from Kansas City and boring and I keep forgetting what his thing is, you know, like I said this when we talked about him a couple months ago. I see Joe Burrow, the quarterback for the Bengals, when you talk about Joe Alwyn, so I don't really know what this person looks
like. Oh, Joe Burrow, is he problematic? He's so cute.
I don't think
I love
he is.
Him. I don't think he is, but I
Taylor
love
Swift
him.
Swift could date him. That would be fine, you know. That
God,
could be cool.
I would really love if she had dated like a hot athlete.
I think she's due for a hot athlete phase. That'd be
right?
fun.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah.
you know.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June. I still can't get over how easy and convenient their Manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their Manny and Petty systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They are so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for, and I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code PODCAST at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/podcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/podcastpod.
Okay, so let's go ahead and go to, this is kind of new, but it's just like a check-in because there's so much content going on right now. And a lot of it is in the middle of its run. So we can't really like red light or green light it yet, but we still did want to be able to talk about it. So we're going to be vibes on what we've been watching. Jamie, like what's something maybe you're currently watching, new or returning? And what are you thinking about it so far?
Listen, I spent all weekend watching The Great, season 3 of The Great on Hulu. So as a reminder, The Great is this kind of black comedy drama about the rise of Catherine the Great being like the longest reigning female ruler in Russian history. Y'all, I greenlit the first season. I will state everything of my integrity on the fact that season 2 and season 3 are better than even season 1.
Our season 3 is incredible.
This season is so incredible. Guys, it's just smart. It's witty. The chemistry between Nicholas Hoult, who plays Peter, Emperor Peter III, and Elle Fanning, who plays Catherine the Great, it is, you could cut it. And the fact that they hate each other and are very sexy with each other, yeah, it's the perfect combination. There's lots of court intrigue. Their performances are really holding it all together, but there's fascinating plot and development. That those scripts are so tight and so funny and so dark. And listen, it is dark. There's some orgies.
Okay.
There's some death by sex. There's constantly things
death
happening.
Death by sex. Okay. Yes. Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And maybe that's, you know, with someone's mother that you're not married to, you know,
great,
or maybe it's your mother-in-law. You know, I don't know what's happening.
Sure.
But it's so fantastic. So I highly recommend it. It's on Hulu. You can binge all three seasons. Because I was reading an interesting thing about the guy that directed Ghosted, the garbage film starring Chris Evans and Ana de Armas.
That's right.
He was saying in an interview, he was like, yeah, like the critics hated it. He was very honest. He was like, yeah, the critics hated it. But Apple said it's the best movie in their history. He said, and guess what? In this day and age, that's all that matters. He said, I edited this film because I was told that if something doesn't happen in the first 30 seconds, that people will turn it off. And he said, so we re-edited the film because I had this like homage to like a Goldie Hawn film where Ana de Armas is in a car driving through the mountains. And he said, we cut it. We got right to the action because we've been told.
Gosh.
And I thought,
I love the idea of Tim Cook being like, fart noise, give me some action, bro.
But you know what? I have not thought about the fact that, because, and one of the things in that discussion was that people are not binging shows until they know they're over. Like, they don't want to get, because shows are being canceled and they don't want to get attached. But I did think, isn't it interesting that now directors, now obviously not Martin Scorsese or Steven Spielberg, but that directors are like, if I want to make a lot of money and keep making content, I do have to abide by this new world. And it does affect the kind of content you make, which is interesting.
Yeah, and I think it's a little bit of what the writer's strike is about existentially, is like you are either... not guaranteed, but you are given a path where you can make TV and like eventually get to where you're making what you want, or you just turn into like a stooge for Marvel and you're just like cut and paste of content. That's not good, you know, but I understand why Tim Cook wants like no homages, but like, you know, cleavage and explosions, you know, allegedly. I'm not putting that on Tim Cook. Aaron, do you want to guess Matty Healy's net worth? I just looked this up, and the first thing I saw was the question, you know, Google, people also ask, does Matt Healy smell? Matty Healy smell?
He 100% smells.
And if that's a question people are asking about you, I don't think that's good.
God, can you imagine if that was like, does Aaron Moon smell? That means you do.
Yeah.
Guys, don't Google that, please. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not cool for anybody.
I don't want to know. I do not want that to be the way to find out. Okay. What about like 5.9 million?
I love the number. I love the number. Jamie, do you want to steal with a chance to win this?
25 million.
25 million. Wow. That was a little closer than I thought. It's 50 million. 50 million.
Oh, wow. I was going to guess $100,000 because that feels like what he's worth.
Hey, and I will just do a quick rebuke for you.
Please.
He is from Manchester. He is not from London. And people who love the 1975 will come for your...
Because how far is Manchester from London?
I'm not sure, but I know that's a different vibe.
Okay, that's fine. I think he lives in London now, though.
Maybe, but I know like...
I know he's from a cow farm. I did read that because I thought, that's cool. Okay. He's from a cow farm. She's from like a Christmas tree farm, allegedly.
Oh,
so that's kind of love.
Sweet.
Gross.
You know?
Don't even.
Okay. Something I've been watching, and I don't know if it's good or if I like it.
Uh-oh.
And I did the rare thing of, I really like to form my opinions and just, because I can form pretty fast. I don't know if people picked up on that yet. But I have a good sense of if I think it's trash or not. But I've been watching this show, and I finally went to Metacritic, and I was like, what y'all think about this? And it says 47 or something.
Oh, okay.
I was like, wow, that's not what I thought. And it's Fatal Attraction on Showtime.
I put that in this kill of Smooch, Mary, Kill this week.
Listen, it is, the tricky part is, I think it's a lot of, you know, smoke and mirrors. It's a lot of like, oh, I kind of like that. I like Lizzie Kaplan. I like Joshua Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
The people
I love
making
both.
It, Alexandra Cunningham, she was the showrunner of Dirty John and Physical. I think those were green lights. And then Kevin Hines also is involved, and he did Perry Mason. I love that. That's a green light as well. So it's like, and I like the movie Fatal Attraction, and this is a TV version. This all sounds great, but there's something off with this show, and I can't put my finger on it. And I'm hesitant to say this, but I think it's probably true. I think it's Josh Jackson. I think that's the problem, because I think I am affectionate to him because of Pacey, Witter from Dawson's Creek.
Yes.
But I think in a lot of ways, when I was looking at his IMDb, I thought if he was a fast food restaurant, he'd be like Little Caesars, probably, you know?
Oh, no.
Like there are bigger pizza places. There are more bespoke pizza places. But he is neither of those things. But he does serve like a functional, economical purpose. Like he's in The Affair, Fringe, shows like this that are not great, but they're serviceable. You know, does that make sense?
It does make sense. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't, there's an extended sequence where Lizzie Kaplan just keeps eating meatballs. I talked about this with Jason the other day, and like, it's very off-putting, but also kind of weirdly fascinating because she just gets two gigantic meatballs and she just eats them at a bar by herself.
Do you think the problem is that Joshua Jackson reads young forever, like a Katie Holmes, like a Selena Gomez? They just always read tiny, young, frail little babies.
You know, and you know what? You know how they counter that in this show?
Gray
hair.
They
give him like Gordon Gekko hair, and they slick that S word back, and it is weird,
Well, I was looking to see who could have played that instead of him. And listen, can I just do the juxtaposition between actors that are his age and actresses? Let me just do a sample. Actors his age, Ashton Kutcher.
Okay.
Bill Hader.
Yeah.
Adam Sandberg.
Wow.
James Franco. Actresses his age, Zoe Saldana, Rachel McAdams, Michelle Rodriguez, Jennifer Goodwin. It's like great actresses.
Yeah.
But like, oh, okay. So like Kumail Nanjiani, that's our choice?
He's got a baby face and like, I don't know that he's great at acting. Did you say Adam Sandberg? Is that like,
Andy. But he goes, man, it's Adam's brother. It's his twin. He's also not talented.
He does the Corona commercials.
I love that. I love Andy Samberg. But who I would have put in it is, interestingly, the same age as Ian Somerhalder.
Uh-huh.
Remember?
Yeah.
What's his face? From Lost.
Boone. Yeah.
Boone. And then from Vampire Diaries, of course. He would have made a sexy. Lizzie Kaplan exudes sex. Joshua Jackson does not exude sex. Like,
no.
He just doesn't.
No, and honestly, they also make a, I'm not spoiling anything because I don't even know what this is, but like they make his character wear tighty whities, and Ashley, viscerally reacted. She was like,
should.
Oh God, oh, I think I'm going to be sick.
Yes,
like it's
of course.
Just this.
Well, and somebody else, Annie B. Jones, who owns the Bookshelf in Thomasville, Georgia, who we love, she said that she was bothered by how unattractive Joshua Jackson's wife in the show is made to look. Like, that obviously he would step out on her.
They did Amanda Peet so dirty.
Why did they do it
so dirty?
They
made her look like Rip Van Winkle, but like as a woman. And it's not fair. And it's not cool. But back to Boone for a second. I think I realized in this moment, we have a real blindness to hot people incest. And that's why like Jaime Lannister and Cersei Lannister, Boone and his sister thing, whatever, on Lost.
But that was in real life.
Yeah. Oh, wait. He was incestuous in real life?
No. Like he was incestuous with his... It's a sister on the show. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Jamie, when you said that was real life, and I was talking about Lost, and you were talking about Lost, and we both knew what we were talking about.
I know.
Did you feel like that would be confusing for me?
Jamie and Cersei, that's not real life. They didn't date in real life.
No, they... Oh, I understand
what
you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
You're saying because they crossed the line in real life as two non-related people. It gets
we don't know any siblings that have dated other than Derek and Julian, allegedly.
I'm just saying, if like Beans and Betty White were brother and sister and they were hooking up, no one would like that. And we would put a stop to that immediately.
I would like to meet their mother that had a Betty White and then waited 70 years and had a Beans.
Abrahamic kind of reproductive cycles there.
That's
you know.
Good.
What else are you watching?
Okay, so I'm also watching Yellow Jackets, and I do want to report back. So season one, green light all the way. Season two, I think there's two episodes left in this season. And y'all, I'm just so impressed. It's already been renewed for season three. When we will get that, the writer strike knows. We don't know. But again, this as a reminder, this is about a New Jersey high school soccer team in 1996 that travels for a national tournament while flying over Canada. Their plane crashes deep in the wilderness, and they are stranded for 19 months. So the series kind of goes back and forth between them trying to stay alive in the woods and then also focusing on their lives 25 years later following their rescue, which is not a spoiler. They get rescued. But what I love about season two is that it was like, yes, all the momentum might have pulled back a little bit, but the tension building... Because we are adding to the ensemble people that we thought we should have met in season one, we never met. Now we're meeting them. And all the performances. I would say they have mastered the time travel element of flashbacks and flash forwards.
Yes.
I think nobody has done it better than Yellow Jackets. And then the other piece is, what a brilliant, like, you always have to pay a tax. So to have, normally to have brilliant adult actors, you're going to have mediocre teen actors.
Right.
That is not the case here. Everybody is doing, there's actually teen actors doing a better job than their adult counterpart.
Yes.
On this show.
And looking at you, Julia Lewis. Okay. Let's just say it. Let's just say what it is. You know, I'm a little, the only note I would give,
okay,
the only thing I'm bumping on a little bit is, I think maybe they got a little out in front with, like, here's what happens,
yes,
in a variety of ways. And the inevitability of, like, I know where we're going, and this season's really slow played getting to it, you know?
Yes.
Like the Adam thing with the cops, Shauna's baby, the cannibalism. There's a character who disappears for weeks,
right,
in the cold and comes back, and no one has sat that person down and been like, hey, no, it's been a weird couple weeks. I know you've got a lot on your mind, probably some PTSD. I just need to understand how you're here, okay? And I need a straight answer.
Right.
And I don't care if that makes you uncomfortable. I have to know.
I do think you're right. I think the other tax that you're paying as a viewer is that for a slow-moving show, you're getting great performances.
Yes.
And great kind of character analysis and deep diving into psyches. Listen, that Shauna, I'm not spoiling it, but that Shauna episode, it was devastating.
Yeah.
Like, it was devastating. I had a friend who was like, if I cried, I would have cried.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was a big deal for her to even say that, because she doesn't
cry.
That's
a deep statement.
It was huge. So I am really enjoying it.
They've also been, like, sprinkling in, because, you know, like, they got to fill the roster out a little bit, you know, because you start to look at the background. You're like, who's here? Who's, like, who are the red shirts who are definitely getting eaten? Because I can do the math.
Right.
And I see a lot of people, and I know a lot of people don't make it back. And there's a girl, we call her Pink Hat Girl. And she just shows up randomly, and she's got a backwards pink hat, and she's like, "Huh, it's cold in here, isn't it?" And it's like, that's she's basically like a roasted pig on a like rotating over a fire right now. It's only a matter of time when she gets eaten, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, that's true. I will say in this episode, this most recent episode, one of my favorite lines. It's kind of like the line from WandaVision about grief. I love this line so much. It was a character is saying, you have to leave your phones behind in a scenario. You don't have to understand what it means. She's like, you have to leave your phones behind. And she's like, no, you're not serious, are you? And she says, our devices leave us captive to other people's priorities.
That's
and
deep.
I was like, oh my gosh, that's such a good word.
That's deep right there.
It's deep.
It's good stuff.
It's good.
I had Yellow Jackets as well. So we hit on most of that. I'm watching White House Plumbers.
Okay,
it's so weird. It's so weird.
I love Justin Theroux.
God, one of my notes was like, is Justin Theroux the most underrated / misused leading man of a generation? Because I love seeing him stuff. I thought in The Leftovers, he was just a complete revelation. I don't know what he's doing in this, but it's very interesting to watch. Woody Harrelson's also a major league weirdo. They're both doing just weird cartoonish performances, but I secretly like it. And I think it's a show ran by David Mandel, who had a hand in, I think he's done Seinfeld, Curb. I think he's done Veep. So the voice and the tone is strange, but I do like it. But most importantly, I wanted to see, like, do you think Woody Harrelson is the last notable Woody, pun intended, we're ever going to have, like, in like culture?
Okay. I would say yes. Like, you're right. My gut says yes. But the problem is, I saw a TikTok recently where a girl was like, I just met a baby. And its name is Linda.
Oh, no. Why are we doing this?
What are we? I mean, can you imagine meeting a baby today? And they go, this is our baby, Linda. It'd be like if they were like, this is our baby, Deborah.
This is Bernadette. Like, this is Peggy. This is Herman.
This is our baby, Denise. You'd be like, what are you talking about? So that's why I think yes, but also probably not.
But see, it's got a double hit of like Woody Allen, you know, and Woody Harrelson. They're both weird. Woody Allen's weird for a completely different reason. But also Woody is a euphemism. So it's like,
what's it a euphemism for?
Oh man, I think you understand, you know,
okay.
Cause I think the only same phrase, Woody from Toy Story.
I was going to say, don't you think that sometimes people name their kid, they're like, oh, I loved Woody from Toy Story, and we're not going to name our baby Buzz. So we're gonna
I haven't
name
met
Woody.
A lot of like Bing Bong Davises. So I don't think that's true. I don't think that's a true thesis that you have. You
if
know?
Anybody knows a Bing Bong, please let us know. Please DM us.
Bing Bong LaFleur is president of my high school. I think that would be interesting. I also had Ted Lasso. I go back and forth with this show because I feel like it's gotten so high on its own supply, and it's like if a Squishimal was a TV show, that's what this is this season, you know?
Yes.
And there's so much we don't need, and I feel like this is going to end poorly before they have a chance to like end it in a good, smart way.
Well, my understanding is it ends, right? Like that season three
But now he's leaving, he's doing like, you know, I could do a season four. I've got a story, you know, one of those things.
Because so they were like, we took stuff off from the set.
Don't let Jason Sudeikis cook. That's just what he's saying. He's just warning everybody. So.
I did see some Twitter chatter that Ted Lasso, they're like, this show is going back to its roots of being weird and wonky and not about anything.
So you would disagree
with that. I haven't watched season three yet, so.
No, that's like saying Christopher Columbus going to the New World was going back to his roots. It's just not a true statement.
Got it.
Wrong, completely wrong.
Well, let me say something that I did try to start and then I DNF'd, so it was a do not finish. And I made it two episodes in one and three episodes in the other. And so the first is The Last Thing He Told Me with Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, had a real big stink on it, you know.
Jennifer, first of all, that Allure photo shoot was amazing. You looked amazing. There was some photoshopping, and you know that, okay? But you looked amazing, okay? Dope. It's so amazing.
Yeah.
But that show is not, no, it's not good. And then that garbage Citadel. Gah, Citadel. Listen, and I kept going, is this my, what is it, the movie you love that's so bad?
Oh, so many to think of. There's Red Notice. There's Gray Man.
I was like, is this my Red Notice Gray Man? Is that what this is? Because literally it's made by the same people that made Gray Man.
That's true.
And then I was like, no, this is bad. Priyanka is pretty, but I don't think she's a good actress.
Nor is
Dickie Madden. Dickie Madden's not a good actor. This script is but I don't even know. I think they improvised and just said, what do y'all think happens next? And that's what they did.
Well, you know, when I read a little bit about how this like got made, and this was evidently, this was not, you know, traditionally a creative brings a story to a studio and is like, I would like to tell the story and here's the idea and here's where we're going. This went the other way. The studio saw the Russo brothers and was like, what if we had a hot woman, the Tooch, Dick Madden, and you had like $500 million. Could you do something? And they were like, I think we could. And that's how the story got made. And that's usually not the order you want to do it in, you know?
No, I guess not.
Do you think it's possible that Jennifer Garner she's committed? You know, like in a nursing home, those cats who can like smell when people are about to die or something, you know?
God, please don't make her the cat. Or is she the one about to die?
No, I think, is she the one who's taking it on? She's like, hey, I'm going to be the one who commits to be in all the bad movies. And I'm not going to say you shouldn't watch it, but you're going to know if I'm in it. Don't watch it. Don't spend time with it. I'm going to follow my sword. And she's a public servant just like you are.
Why would she do that if she doesn't want to be, why doesn't she want to be in good things? If
you're
an actor.
Maybe like someone's eventually you'll get this cooking show, I guess you want.
I'm starting to feel bad for the children because it's like, so what does your mom do? Well, she's in bad TV shows. What does your dad do? He's in bad movies, except that one about Nike.
He's got bad body language publicly. That's his thing, basically.
What about your stepmom? Nope. She's in bad movies, too.
She's also in bad movies.
It's just
we don't know what's good. We don't understand goodness, in our
lives. That's right.
I have begun Silo on Apple TV.
Okay. I have watched one episode, and I am hesitantly optimistic.
Okay. Okay. It's... They really snatched your boy with the Swedish Nightingale.
Oh, that's really what I was like, oh my God, there. He is going to camp out in this.
You dang right I am. But I do like, it's Rashida Jones, David Oyelowo, I hope I'm saying that right. Tim Robbins is in that.
Common? How you feel about Common?
He's kind of a Jennifer Garner for me, you know, personally.
Of course he is. Guys, Common is not normally in good things.
There's a Hunger Games. If you like the second Hunger Games movie more than any of the others, you'll love this. I don't know that's the best way to pitch people on that.
I did love the second Hunger Games movie better than
if you just want to be stuck indoors and not understand why you're in there, but I'm holding on. I'm interested in, and mostly the reason I'm holding on is this is Graham Yost, who notably was super involved in Justified. So, you know, he's got a season.
Yeah, I'm hopeful to keep going, yes.
Yeah. Aaron, what kind of TV are you crushing lately? Like, what are you getting into? What are you chopping up?
Man, I've been watching Queen Charlotte.
Yeah?
Frick yeah. Heck yeah, man.
Loved it.
Uh-huh.
So good. I've been watching Jury Duty.
Did you love it?
I love it. It's
so good.
So good precious. Stuff. That's pretty much it.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good stuff.
What's your lunchtime show that you're watching?
I don't have a lunchtime show right now. Do you have any suggestions?
Not for you. No.
Southside. I would check out Southside.
I can't figure out how to watch The Great. I love The Great, but I don't know how to watch
Hulu.
It.
It's on Hulu.
I know.
When I open Hulu, it literally says Jamie, Kara,
Katie.
Yeah,
Kara, but you changed your password.
I know. And we would give it to you. We changed it. Well, I didn't change it. Katie changed it. And she was like, hey, girl, I changed your password. My bad.
Wow, people just getting stabbed in the back all over the place.
Holland and you. I'll give you the password. I'll give you the password. Although Hulu and Disney Plus are becoming one thing.
Don't tell her that.
Really?
Don't tell her that.
Oh, no.
That's too confusing.
How is that confusing? That's less to understand.
No, now that I know.
But where do you go? Do you go to Hulu? Do you go to Disney?
Where was the sign in? You know what I mean? I don't know.
No, I think you would really like The Great. Like a lot.
I love the first season.
Because, you know, she loves rain. She loves any historical royal like take on anything.
We call that Katie Moon, and I call that Tudor smut. Oh
my God, you would love The Great. Then it is classic Tudor smut.
Yeah,
that's good. That's good. I would listen. Party Down or Southside if you want a half hour comedy. Those are my lunchtime shows.
Oh, Party Down is good. Yeah.
Party Down is the one about the buffet people. The people at the buffet.
They call themselves caterers, but buffet people is very respectful as well. You know. Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/popcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/popcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/popcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/popcast.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a Prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the brushed rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pair sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code POP.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Okay, let's go to Trailer Park. And Jamie, I want to talk about freaking Dune 2.
Gosh.
Because like, what was your vibe on Dune 1? Like your takeaway?
I loved Dune 1.
So you were like, I'm all in. I loved it.
100%.
I loved the slowness. I love the sandiness.
No, see, we disagreed on this.
I love the butthole monster in the sand.
I got naked Oscar Isaac.
Uh-huh.
And I got gritty, like, eye squinty Timothée Chalamet.
You did.
Timothée grows hotter by the day. Like, hotter by the day. This trailer, I watched it twice, ignored blue-eyed Zendaya. focus solely on when he's about to ride that whatever. I was like, let's go.
Listen,
let's
he's getting his big boy voice too. He's getting some depth in there.
I know,
you know
he's
some
27 now. He's at puberty. I think the French are behind in puberty.
It takes a minute. It takes a minute. Yeah. I knew I was in, you know, obviously we get Swedish Nightingale slow zoom. Like in she's in like a buggy or cart or carriage or whatever that is.
Right.
But the thing,
you think
when
it's
I knew,
buggy? You think it's
whatever,
probably
I don't
buggy.
Know. Yeah. I don't know the politics of the spice trade. You know, right. I'm not here to talk about the transportation vehicles.
Right.
When I get a trailer, Jamie, so many of the trailers are like the big music and then they do like the bass drop and then like something happens. I didn't get any of that. All I got was subtitle, singer vocalizing. And that singer didn't stop vocalizing the whole trailer. And that's how I knew this was a serious movie.
I knew
I was going to pay attention to this.
You also knew it was serious because Austin Butler has no hair and they don't let him talk in that Elvis voice.
Listen, I don't know why there's a race of Uncle Festers on this planet situation, but I'm excited to see what
they're
we
the bad
do with
guys,
them.
Just in case you don't know. Then Florence Pugh, who looks completely normal.
Yeah.
Like, there's and she's just like doing a podcast into a voice memo thing. I don't understand what she's doing in that trailer. She's just talking to a recorder. What are you doing? Christopher Walken is in this one where he wasn't in the first one. We didn't even get him in the trailer, I don't think.
I didn't catch him because I was distracted by Flo. It feels like they shot Flo Pugh on the set of Don't Worry, Darling for this and then just cut it right in. So I don't understand that. But I'll be honest, like this, obviously, it feels like there's a lot more action. So that's great. But I am fascinated by light and like ebullient Zendaya. Because I feel like we never get this version of her and she never gets to play characters like this. So I'm interested to see her take this on and be kind of like a hopeful, kind of awestruck, inspirational figure, because that's not something we've really seen in her toolbox a lot. And I think she can really do that well.
No, I'm hopeful. So for those who don't know, like you can watch Dune 1, which it's not called that, but you can watch Dune 1 on HBO Max that next week will become known as Max, which will not confuse Aaron at all.
You've got that, Aaron.
And then I was thinking about Timothée. What a fall. We get Dune on November 3rd, Dune 2.
Double Dune, some people are calling it.
Double Dune. And then we get freaking Wonka on December 15th.
Haven't seen a lot of footage, and I don't know if that's a good sign. Don't know if it's a bad sign.
No, I feel like they're holding it, and they're like, don't worry. We'll tell you soon. Don't worry.
Yeah.
This Wonka situation. He's going to be so good. I hope so. Don't play this back for me if I'm wrong. But
Jason, clip it and just hold it, and we'll see.
Just hold
and we'll
it.
Find
we'll
out.
See. Yeah.
Yeah, Austin Butler, do you think he has to do the Elvis voice? No matter what like they sound like? I feel like he does.
No, I think he has to. Right now, I would think they put it in the... Like if Elvis
trade.
Went to space, he would.
There's
trade
butthole
places.
Worms. Why can't you also do the Elvis voice? Like I don't know why. Like who are we trying to appease here? You know, like these are the same people who get mad at like there's black hobbits. Well, there can be black hobbits. There can be Elvis sounding Uncle
what
Festers in space.
Instead of the Elvis voice, he does a Lisa Presley voice.
Oh,
instead.
That's interesting.
Like
that's
keeps
really
with the family, but is like I'm now gonna do Riley Keough.
I'm gonna do Tom Hanks from the Elvis movies voice, the Foghorn Leghorn. Colonel guy.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. That's what
that would also be fun. So I hope they did that. I hope they did things like that. Okay, well that's our conversation on The More You Know. Again, we have these episodes sent to our BFODs 3 times a month on Monday nights, in addition to all the other content we come up with. So if you like the tone and the vibe and the rhythm of these episodes, make sure to support us at noxjamming.com/Patreon. And if you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know. noxjamming.com/505. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right. What is your red light this week?
Okay. So my red light this week, listen, listeners, you're going to be led down a path of temptation soon. And I want you to prepare your hearts. I want you to gird your loins, because a well-meaning parent is going to algorithm their way into your feed, any feed, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, a text thread, a billboard on the highway, and they're going to algorithm their way in. And that parent is going to say the phrase, only 7 summers left.
Oh, don't do this.
Okay,
God.
Listen to me. First of all, don't buy into that. First of all, you could be hit by a bus tomorrow, which if you do the math, that means 0 summers left, okay? Second, you have created a time crunch on being close to your kid. Look, I'm closer to Chuck and Jan now than I ever was as a kid. Our relationship is complex and nuanced and kind and hilarious. Why? I'm glad they didn't measure the summers and be like, well, then it's all over after that. Also, that's very optimistic to think that your kid's going to move out when they graduate from high school, because the odds are not
with these rates. I don't know about that.
There's no way that's going to happen. You're not. They're going to be on your phone plan until they die. Are you kidding? Third, your teenager does not want to see you in the summer unless they need a free meal or new Nikes. That's why they're spending time with you in hopes that you will buy them some Kendra Scott dangly earrings. Okay. Now, to be fair, I will give a lifetime annual pass for this kind of emotional terrorism to Enneagram 4s and Enneagram 4s only, because this is their feeling Super Bowl and they thrive in the angst and they do it better than the rest. But you other numbers, don't you dare. Don't you dare come in here and be like, hey, mama, you got this. Hey, mama.
No.
Don't call people you don't know mama. I don't like that either. That's another red light.
I think I will push back. I think Enneagrams 4 know better than to do stuff like that.
Really?
And it is other people trying to act like feeling sufficient and efficient people and doing stuff like that, dropping those terror bombs. I don't think Enneagrams 4 do that.
No, I think you're probably right. Because I will say most of the people who are doing this, their bios do not pass the Bechdel test. I will say that. That is not a coincidence. Okay? Okay.
And can I just say that too? They've Please. Started, I don't know if you've seen this, they've started doing this with frickin' dogs too. Like it's a slow-mo picture of your what? Dog running and it's like, no. You know, dogs only get 10 summers with you. And it's like,
First of all, that dog's going to get hit by a bus at age 4. So that's not even true.
Where are all these buses going and why aren't they watching where they're driving?
Some dogs live to be what, like 20? I don't know how long dogs live.
Known this veterinarian corner with Jim.
Do dogs live longer or cats? It feels like cats don't do much, so they stay around a long time.
Should we start a segment at the end of some episodes and it's just Jamie on pets and it's people asking for advice on pets and you giving advice on pets?
Listen,
I would listen to that.
My neighbor introduced me to her new puppy and she said, it's a Bernie Doodle. And I went,
what?
What is that? I did not know. And she was like,
it's like a Bernie bro, but a dog, like very liberal passion.
Listen, I will say he's very cute. But he did chew on my shoe, which I was not into. So
he's like,
I was
I'm chewing on your shoe and we need campaign finance reform.
I know.
Okay. So like, get
out of
here.
She went to the bathroom and I grabbed his face and I was like, we'll never hang out again.
This is it for you, Bernie.
That's right.
Crazy. That's insane. My red light is I'm going to do the Tennessee Titans social media team, the senior members. Okay.
Oh,
red light to them.
Okay.
Because I'm sure a lot of people have seen this. The NFL schedule release was last week and it's turned into this whole deal because the NFL's mastered how to be relevant the whole year, even when they're not playing games. And so each team like blows it out, kind of rolls out the schedule. And the Titans specifically, they filmed this like slick little video that's like someone's walking into this cool club and it's showing like casually like all the games and all the weeks and like who they're playing and stuff. It's well done. They had like Keith Evans in there, Nate Bargatze's in there, Marcus King, a musician called Jelly Roll. Are you familiar with Jelly Roll's work?
Yes, of course. Jelly Roll is so talented.
I had no idea who this was. I saw that and I looked it up and my note was Country Fried Post Malone because that's who Jelly Roll is, you know? So it's a good video, right? And you can tell they spent resources and you can tell like whoever's the senior members of that social media team, this was their thing, right?
Yeah.
And as of this morning of recording, I saw it's got 886,000 views, which is that's pretty good, right?
That's
pretty good.
Okay.
Unfortunately, though, this is transposed up against what I can only assume were the social media team interns, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
They were given no resources. All they were given was their own phone and a little baby clip-on mic, and they were sent out to Broadway in Nashville and just asking locals and normals about each team on the Titans schedule and who they thought the team was and like what their name was, and they were all so wrong in the most incredible way. My personal favorites were the woman who was shown the LA Chargers logo, and she said that they were the...
Lightning McQueen! No.
But my favorite was the group of girls who were shown the Steelers logo, and they called them the... 49ers, 69ers stars. That is... God, that's so good. That's so much better than Nate Bargatze. No offense, Nate Bargatze. The total views on that video, 27.3 million.
Interns are where it's at.
Listen, Keith Eben, he might be a star, but he's not beating calling the Steelers the 69er stars. It's just not beating that, okay? Okay, what's your green light this week?
Okay, you are not ready for my green light. This might be the best movie I've seen all year.
Okay.
And it was not in our summer movie preview because I didn't even know this was coming out. And what happened was we were supposed to go see Guardians. We had a miscommunication of which one of us was getting the tickets. Then all we could get were like front row. You have to bring a wheelchair. I get a chair. Great. That's mm-hmm. it, right? So we were like, okay, we can't see this. What else can we go see? And we were like, well, this movie's got really high, like really high audience and critic score. And it's the movie Blackberry.
Man, I've heard Blackberry's so good.
Oh, Knox. Knox, listen. If The Big Short and The Social Network had a baby and that baby loved to watch an episode of The Office as it goes to sleep, that is this movie. You are not ready. Guys, Blackberry tells the story of Mike Lazaridis and Jim Balsillie, the two men that chart the course for the crazy rise and then the catastrophic demise of the world's first smartphone, the Blackberry. I want to read Matt Zollersites, who's a critic that I really love. This is what he said about the movie. He said, "The story is so excitingly told, the performance is so watchable, and the dialogue so quotable that it becomes the verbal equivalent of an action flick, kinetic, suspenseful, and sometimes unexpectedly beautiful and weirdly moving." Y'all, Glenn Howerton, he plays Jim. He is everything. I want
people
him
will
to get
know
nominated
him from It's
for
Always
Oscar.
Sunny. People will
That's
recognize
right.
him from
That's
that.
Right.
The reason I was hesitant on this because his bald head looks so like not well done.
No,
I was like, that is a bad sign.
No,
on this
they
budget.
Canadian budgeted it out for sure. But listen, this is your next date night movie. I laughed because listen, we've gotten a lot of these. Like we got the Tetris movie. We got we got Air Jordan. We're getting all these corporate kind of
recent history, fictional things.
This actually does. It has a weird, actually very clever layout of only telling you the beginning and the ending, not really doing the middle. And it's actually a brilliant way to frame the movie. I laughed out loud so much. The performances are so good. It is this underrated. It will be the movie I feel like we're going to keep talking about all summer long of being like, that was hilarious. It was hilarious. It was so good.
That's so funny because I think coming into this, Tetris and Blackberry felt like very similar movies.
Yes.
And it felt like, I remember talking to Jason about this, Tetris was going to be better because it felt like it was more financed. It had a more clever entry point, like they were using video game, you know, kind of like Scott Pilgrim aspects.
Right.
It was fine. You know, it was decent.
Yeah, it was fine. Yeah.
But Blackberry, Jay Baruchel, cheap Glenn Howerton ball, it just didn't seem good. And even the trailer, it just seemed very low budget. But like you're saying, it just, everything is overwhelmingly positive about this movie. So I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Yes.
I can't wait to check it out.
And listen, you guys, it was only in one theater in Birmingham. And it just happened to be the theater we were going at. So it was only in one theater. Here's my thing. Go, this is the kind of movie you want to see. Like, if you want more of these movies made, you know, in 7 years when the writer's strike is over, you need to go see these kind of movies in the theater. Like, this was an excellent film. It was a tight 2 hours. Like, it didn't go over.
Yeah. Let's go.
And it was really, really funny. And it made me think back because I really wanted a BlackBerry, like, desperately. And so all I could afford was a Samsung Blackjack.
Yeah. All right. Let's go. I don't even know what that is.
No, it's just a BlackBerry knockoff. So much that it's a knockoff that BlackBerry sued Samsung and was like, you can't call it that. So in Canada, they couldn't even call it a Blackjack. It was just a Samsung Jack.
Wow.
Which is a stupid name. Aaron, what was the first phone you ever had?
It was like a Nokia something.
Yeah, same.
I'm looking at it, but I don't know what it is.
So it was one of those, like, if you wanted to type, like, text, you had to hit, like, a button 3 times to get to A.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was exactly what it was.
What was your first smartphone?
An iPhone.
Oh, well, okay then.
Fancy schmancy. I don't know the definition of like a smartphone necessarily.
Like, it can get on the internet.
Oh, I think I had, it wasn't like a Razor.
I had a Palm Pilot. Oh, I bet you had a Razor.
It might have been a Razor. Jason was a big Palm Pilot guy. Like, he was like, we were playing racquetball and like, I don't even know if we were employed, but he was like, let me pencil in our next racquetball session. Yeah. And I was like, what else you got going, man?
Listen,
we play Halo for 8 hours after this.
I got a Palm Pilot off of eBay because I was just making $19,000 a year. So I could not afford so I got a used one and I freaking loved it. I was like, let me jot down some thoughts for later.
Really quickly as a memoriam, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, well, that's a good one. I'm excited to watch that. My Green Lights, I've got two books, fiction and nonfiction.
Ooh.
The fiction is Pineapple Street.
Ashley
had recommended it to me a while back and I picked it up and she described it as wealthy dysfunction, which anytime anyone says that, I'm automatically in. just incredibly in, because I just love that as a story genre. I love that as a like a set piece, and all the characters that are allowed to work within it. So it's not, it's like, you know, Succession, if nobody cared about the business, everyone was just caring about like their lives. But it's interesting. It's a really good character study on the influence of wealth, class and privilege, but also like your acceptance of or rejection of those things and how it affects not just yourself, but also the relationships you have. So it does a very clever kind of introspective view for each of the characters, and it's told from different perspectives. So I highly recommend. Okay. People are calling it a beachy read. I don't know that it's quite a beachy read, but it feels summery. So I feel like that's okay.
I like that.
The nonfiction, I just read this. I think it came out a couple weeks ago. It's Traffic by Ben Smith. Ben Smith from Semaphore.
I wanted to read
New York Times, BuzzFeed News. This charts the development of the post-2000s internet and how places like Gawker Media, BuzzFeed, Facebook, Twitter, and a lot of companies that came and went all navigated the growth and development of social media and the attention economy. It's a fascinating read if you were at all just like interested in it as it happened, but also if you're wanting to know how we got to the current internet and social media situation that we're currently stuck in. This is going to explain why and in detail with the players. Jonah Peretti is a major character in this, and how he got to BuzzFeed. And honestly, there was a lot of stuff about BuzzFeed I didn't understand, but now in retrospect makes a lot of sense. So very, very fascinating read to check out. Okay, well, that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And before you go, remember, anytime you're doing shopping on Amazon, make sure to go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcastfirst so you purchase using our affiliate link. Your favorite item purchased using that link this week was, Jamie, this is a Taco Tuesday pinata.
This is the cutest pinata.
Very cool.
Very cool. 419 global ratings, 4.5 stars. I will say that two people took issue. First was Naomi, who said, although a beautiful and sturdy pinata, literally not one of the kids at the party could bust it. Even the adults who tried. And my husband is a 32-year-old firefighter. Wow. Which, listen, not all firefighters are created equally, okay? Okay? They're not all Chicago Fire actors,
sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
I see some sometimes and I go, oh, you must drive the truck.
Some of them don't spend their time working out. They spend their time napping, and that's okay.
That's right. That's okay. And then, of course, Yolanda said, poorly made, fell apart before it was hung, too small.
Oh, wow.
You know why I like
that. Title of your sex tape, right?
That's why I love this so much. Okay. All right, you guys. Don't forget that you can still find out what kind of mom you are, even if you're not a mom. You can find out what kind of mom you are at knoxandjamie.com/mom quiz. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.